Stay tuned for a time-traveling adventure from 2024 all the way back to 1983.
Professor Theo's Mystery Lab.
I'm Professor Theo. Welcome back to the lab. I'm broadcasting from the campus of Splendid University in the lovely, wondrous, supernatural town of Splendid, West Virginia, where I collect and tell the stories of kid superheroes, time-traveling teens, giant bugs, kid detectives, and so much more. Some people think the bizarre, secret, only-for-me, keep-out experiments of my lab have something to do with the strange happenings of this town, and, well, I can assure you that is almost never, well, sometimes maybe a little true. But we won't go into that today. Today is for a time-traveling tale. Not my tale. I am passing this on from the young person who told it to me. I do use first-person pronouns. First-person pronouns are I, me, my. I do use them in the telling of it. Though it is, like many of the tales here, not my story, but one I have been given permission to share. So sit back, relax, close your eyes, let your mind wander and daydream, and enjoy the imaginative tale.
Time warp to the gold mine.
I didn't believe it when Dad told me there was an actual time portal close to the Time Warp shop downtown. We've been to Time Warp lots of times. I don't remember ever seeing a portal. Turns out my dad was right. We went into that portal and traveled back in time, like forever ago, all the way back to the 1980s. Suddenly, we were walking excitedly into the mall, our pockets full of lawn mowing money, about to get exchanged for quarters. I was hit with the tantalizing, buttery smell of movie theater popcorn. And to my left, I spied movie posters, Superman, E.T., something with James Bond in it. I'm sure I've seen the very same posters on sale in the Time Warp store before, but that was back in the future we'd left behind. 2024. I wondered what year we'd blasted back into. In the distance, I could see a giant carousel at the mall's center. It was filled with pretty plastic-painted horses, and that thing spun wildly to the delight of many youngsters. We passed Morrison's cafeteria, and the eyeglass place, Lens Crafters, and then I saw it. The gold mine. The gold mine. I remember Dad telling me all about it, but now I'm here. 1983. From the outside, it looked like an entrance to a cave that miners would use, one with mine carts and everything. The arcade's name, Gold Mine, was spelled out in yellow gold letters against a stone facade. There was a lantern, and the door was trimmed by wood. Kind of reminded me of an underground mine in Minecraft, but this was long before creepers and zombies haunted my video game-inspired dreams. At first glance, the door seemed to lead only into darkness. As we got closer, though, I could hear the buzzing and beeping of games, as well as the screams and squeals of equal part excitement and distress among the game's many players. We left behind the brightly lit mall for the dim, but highly overstimulated arcade environment. and it felt like crossing from one land, from one world, into another completely. The outside world no longer existed. We were in the grasp of the gold mine now. Pac-Man was there. Mrs. Pac-Man, too, side by side. We played Centipede, and my favorite, Galaga. I put one quarter after the next into Galaga, and all of a sudden I was steering a highly powered spaceship back and forth, shooting villain spaceships in the sky. In another game, I blew up the Death Star, twice. I swashbuckled in the ultra-realistic, for 1983, Dragon's Lair. It had a big crowd around it because it was so new, I guess. I raced in pole position. We felt the endless frustration but addictive fun of Q-Bert. "A game about a boy delivering newspapers?" I said to Dad. However, as quickly as I was to dismiss Paperboy, it didn't stop me from playing it for 20 solid minutes. I dodged Donkey Kong barrels. It was all so much fun. The place was packed, a Saturday afternoon escape for many. Some played alone. Others challenged one another. Everyone aimed for that elusive high score. Our initials published in a blaze of glory. At the top of the game screen was a mark of pride for one player, and a challenge for others. "We have to get back," Dad warned. "That portal doesn't stay open 24/7. You don't want to get stuck here, do you?" I don't know, I kind of did, but I was out of quarters anyway, and I followed Dad. "Can we come back?" I pleaded. Dad smiled, nodded, and beckoned me to follow him. Just like that, we were back in 2024, splendid, all over again, shopping through that time warp store, digging through ancient 1980s memorabilia and memories. I must admit I saw some of that stuff a bit differently now after what we had experienced. I only wish that was the end of it all. That we hadn't brought him back with us. Little did we know the adventure that was in store in the days ahead. And that's all I have of that story, listeners. I look forward to hearing more, and when I do, I will pass it on to you, I promise. We'll be back soon with more tales of this extraordinary town, splendid West Virginia. Thank you for joining us in the lab. Check out the many family-friendly fun podcasts on the Kids Listen Network. The Professor Theo's Mystery Lab podcast is proud to be a part of Kids Listen, alongside some awesome, educational, wonderfully fun, and imaginative podcasts. Kids Listen. We'll be back soon. In the meantime, have a wild and wonderful and weird week. Be good to each other, listeners. Take a walk. Read a book. Support your parks and libraries.
Professor Theo's Mystery Lab is written and read by Jonathan Joy.
And Levi Joy.
I'm Rissy Joy, the proud wife and mother of these two. Please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Spread the word. Tell a friend. If you don't, Professor Theo might blast you into outer space. If he could do that type of thing, I mean. Also, please consider supporting this project by making a small monthly pledge at ProfessorTheo.com. You can email our family at theprofessortheo@gmail.com or tweet at us at @Theo_mystery. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.